Fox Sports 1340 AM presents to you.
WMER, Wrestling Marks of Excellence Radio, starring The Firm, J-Lo, Nephew, Corey, and Dr. D, bringing you the latest up-to-date information on professional wrestling and sports entertainment. Now, live from the Fox Sports 1340 studios in Hopewell, Virginia.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Wrestling Marks of Excellence here on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM. As always, with me, the Wizard himself, Nephew Corey. What's going on, Wizard?
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much, man. Lots going on in the world of professional wrestling. Lots to talk about. John Moxley made a New Japan debut. We have Alexa Bliss turning face. A lot going on in the world of professional wrestling. Let's get right there, man. We got John Moxley, who is living his best life. We saw him a couple weeks ago in AEW make his debut at Double or Nothing AEW. Now, as we record this, he's over in New Japan. I win the IWGP United States title against Juice Robinson. What are your thoughts on John Moxley changing his ring gear up and just having fun being a wrestling fan, being a wrestler?
Well, I mean, he's taking advantage of the situation that is presenting itself, meaning that, you know, in pretty much in my opinion, which is probably what everybody's going to do, everywhere that he goes, they're going to end up pushing him to the moon because they're going to take any opportunity to make WWE look foolish for letting him go or not creatively using him to the best of his ability. So on top of all that, he's actually good. So, yeah, no, I mean, at this point, anywhere that he touches right now is going to turn to gold. Anywhere that he goes.
I totally agree with that. I think anywhere he goes right now will be gold. Fans are looking to see him outside of WWE. I like the fact that he changed his gear up. He's no longer wearing the jeans or the raggedy T-shirt that he today, you know, when New Japan, he wore the shorts and no shirt, you know, and barking the name. He changed the name up a little bit. So he's having fun. And I think it opens up the door for other wrestlers to see how much fun they can have outside of WWE. Once you have the cast, I think you become to the part where you want the creator. It's like an artist. You know, an artist who wants to do his music, but you're telling him how to play and what to play. And he just wants to play freely. And now he's playing freely in the world of professional wrestling. And you'll see other wrestlers do that. You'll start seeing those guys let their contracts run out. We know the Revival didn't sign or don't want to re-sign with WWE. We know right now Luke Harper is willing to sit at home, collect a paycheck, and ride his contract out just to be able to have that freedom to be able to wrestle at in another company. I'm not going to say AEW. I'm going to just say another company because we know they could go to New Japan or they can go to Ring of Honor, they go to Impact, whichever company decides to bring that money up to them and let them flourish and let them flow as being wrestling fans, being wrestlers. And we see that. I think that's one of the things, even Sasha Banks, who we see living her best life right now on Instagram and had took the color out of her hair. She's doing what she needed to do. And I think we talked about it earlier. I do believe right now by seeing Sasha Banks and her saying that she had found herself, you know, that wrestlers need a time off. They need that break. They need that off season where they can rediscover who they are and why they love professional wrestling and why they can have that passion to move forward.
And you know AEW is offering that as an option in the future, right?
Yeah. I mean, that'd be a great option for them, though. That'd be a great option for wrestlers. They need that time off to refresh. If you look at what's going on with wrestlers, that's what they need, I think, because if you have enough wrestlers on the roster like WWE has, you can cycle wrestlers off. I mean, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Is any one of y'all missing Sasha Banks right now?
No. I mean, no. I don't mean that in a bad way, but no. I mean, the machine's going to keep moving. That's exactly what's going to happen. It's just going to keep moving.
And so at that time, you cycle it off, or just, you know, and then you just tell everyone from the month of January until March, you can't have time off because that's your WrestleMania season. Just during this time, you can't have, no one can have time off. We're working towards WrestleMania. You can even go back as far as the Survivor Series. No one can have time off now. We're working to Survivor Series. Storyline wise, this is where we need to go. Now, after WrestleMania happens, you know, we'll cycle you off and we'll schedule your time that you requested and time that you need, which goes into the story of an independent contractor. If I'm an independent contractor, why can't I take time when I need it?
Yeah, no, you're right. I can't even say nothing about that. You're right.
You know, it just goes into that standpoint. But she's living her best life, and guys like John Moxley and and Sasha Banks, I think they've changed the game for other wrestlers to come. Now, WWE is not going to falter or fold because of that, but I think it will spark up a lot of conversation now in the locker room when contract time comes up, when negotiation time comes. Do I want to stay or do I want to go? Do I have enough cash to leave because I want to be creative in AEW?
Well, see, that's going to be the issue that I think honestly comes up, and not in a bad way, but that's going to be the issue that comes up, because what's going to end up happening is you're going to be in a position when this contract runs out that, like you were just saying, do I leave or do I stay? And not just for the fact of what's going on in WWE, you have to see where AEW is at the time of you leaving, because at that point, honestly, we don't know where they're going to be to where Ring of Honor or even Impact would be more of a viable option than going to AEW. I'm just speaking hypothetically, but we really don't know.
Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, I'll say this. AEW is not just going to take anyone from WWE. Because
right,
what you don't want to have, you don't want to have like a retread system where all you're taking is former WWE stars. You want to have the opportunity to create some homegrown people. So everyone that wants to leave to go elsewhere, they'll have options. You know, AEW right now is, I'll say it's number two, right? For the simple fact, I'll say that now because they have the hottest star in wrestling, which is John Moxley, under contract. That solidifies and validates them as number two in my eyes. I didn't say that until this week. But, you know, Impact is a viable option. New Japan, ROH, AAA, you know, there are options for these folks that, you know, are above the indie level and that can go to well-established promotions. And, you know, I think we've reached a point where some people feel like anywhere is better than where I am now. Because, like you said, G, they're artists, they want to express themselves, and you can't express yourself in catering like other people are doing right now and not being used.
Yeah, you know, you got wrestlers who are not being used. We mentioned earlier when myself and Wizard were talking, you have tag team champions who we have not seen in several weeks. Hawkins and Ryder, who has not been on TV, we haven't seen in a couple weeks. You know, when you're talking about a tag team division, you want to see your champions every week. I don't see people complaining about not seeing Hawkins and Ryder like there was a complaint about not seeing Brock Lesnar every week. Why is it for a world champion and it's not the same standard for tag team champion?
And because it's simple, because Brock's is by choice and theirs isn't. I mean that's a simple answer.
Brock, but you're not really though. But if the writers write Brock in and WWE's willing to pay Brock, he'll be there every month. He's been there for the last three.
Yeah, but how much of that are they really willing to spend?
Yeah, and how much of that is based on desperation because the ratings have been going down?
Right, like that's not cut and dry as you write Lesnar in, he's gonna be because the more and more you use him, the more and more
the value goes down.
Here's the thing: it goes both ways actually, because he's a smart man. The value goes down, but the asking price goes up because he's gonna realize, oh, y'all are using me like this. You got to pay me more. And you know they're going to pay because they need them. So the value goes down as far as production-wise, as far as, you know, of his attraction, because you know he's going to be there. But his asking price is going to go up because he's going to be like, okay, you all need me. Nah, y'all got to pay. And they're going to pay. So, no, you can't exhaust that resource. You can't exhaust that.
I think he's been on more Raws now since he has not the Universal Champion than he did when he was the Universal Champion.
But we know why.
Yeah,
like evident.
We know why.
It's truly evident. Like they need to. There needs to be, not to sound like, you know, no pun intended, but enough is enough, and it's time for a change. You know, like it's clear the morale. They got a funky locker room, man. You know what I mean? Like when things start to feel like that, and you start to have a lot of the soldiers start to feel the way that they feel that they'd rather be anywhere else but there, that's like a bad, bad sign. And that means that if this were a football team, then that means that the head coach would probably be fired. The morale has to change. Something has to change. I mean, I don't know what you guys talked about at the top of the show, but, you know, coming in, the one thing that I noticed was I had people sending me and texting me about, hey, did you see the Moxley IWGP, you know, victory? Did you see this? I didn't like his new ring attire personally, you know, but the fact that he has the opportunity to do that, you know, and not have to run it through several different channels is a thing that other people are watching. And, you know, we're going to talk about comparisons and everything as we move forward, but this thing, what's going on now, the energy, the momentum, and I'm trying to figure out, to me, what do you guys think was more impactful? Double or Nothing or Moxley's press runs over the past week with Talk Is Jericho and a couple of other interviews that he did?
Oh, all the other stuff. The Double or Nothing, I mean, that was, I mean, he appeared, but it was, but as I said, maybe what was it, last week or the week before, whatever show we did right after Double or Nothing, what I was saying was that when he appeared, it was kind of like, okay. And it's not in a bad way, but it was like, okay, we knew the situation surrounding him leaving WWE. So we already knew he was going to eventually show up somewhere. And because the time had been so short in between us seeing him on that Shield special and him showing up at Double or Nothing, it was kind of like, for me, it was kind of like, okay, we just saw him. Yeah, like, it's not even... It wasn't as ground shaking as him being gone and then showing up. Like you alluded to, if somebody shows up in August, you know what I'm saying, or October, and you know that hasn't been on anybody's television in a long time, it's going to be more impactful. Especially not to compare Moxley to him, but for argument's sake, whenever and if ever CM Punk shows up on somebody's wrestling show, it's going to be the biggest thing since I can't even think of the last biggest one, because it's going to be huge. You know what I'm saying?
And like I was saying, we're heading for we're heading in for another boom of professional wrestling. And everything you mentioned was a key component and a key part of it. But to answer the question, I think the interviews have, not to say that him showing up wasn't a big impact, but it's like you said, we just saw you not too long ago. But what he's revealed in these interviews have major implications for the work, the people that work in the back, for the talent, for sponsors, advertisers, TV people. And this is going outside of the industry. Like when you have a guy like John Oliver talk about, you know, WWE before Mania, and then you have, like, these different things that are happening with talent actually not afraid to talk about these things or waiting till they're clear to talk about them. Like, you're going to look at a huge shift in the paradigm of, like, how the business is run. Then you have a disruptor like Tony Khan coming in, bringing in all new types of concepts. He has the money. He has a platform. And now he's acquiring talent, and the talent wants to go and be with him because they're seeing what Dean is doing. You know, Moxley's doing. So not saying that it's the end of the world. We got a war. And I'm not going to jump too far on that. But we have a situation where the business is going to experience a certain level of growth and things are going to change, you know. And speaking of change, we got to change the topic at some point and talk about the group text and NXT and everything else that went on this weekend.
Yeah, we'll get there, but you know, with the NXT, with the John Moxley situation and with the AEW, it's when you have a new company, a new corporation comes in, things look glamorous, things look good until you get within the inner works of the company. It looks good to be able to say, you know what, you're going to have an off season. It's good to say that you're going to
Hold on, I'll let you say your point.
It's going to be good to say that, but then becomes now the logistics of doing it. Because if you haven't built a star up, or your star is white hot, do you want him or her to take off if you have no one else to replace? We've seen that within WWE. When Cena left and took off, they tried to throw Roman out there. He really didn't fit the bill. He didn't really go up there. He didn't really step up to the plate, because we were talking about people trying to grab the brass ring. No one took it from Cena for 10 years.
But that's not Roman's fault. That's creative's fault. They screwed
up. We always want to put things on creative. But I think Stone Cold did
it
a gimmick.
They give him the script. No, it is creative.
Yo, hold up. You can go off script because New Day went off script and did, and they were willing to put all the money in to do what New Day did is. So let's not say creative. You can go away from creative. You just got to have a mindset to do so, and it better work. And nobody's willing to gamble because New Day went off script. Stone Cold went off script. Jericho talks about all the times that he went against Vince McMahon. Rock talked about the things that he did that was different. The gimmicks that we like now are people who didn't go with the flow of creative. They did their own thing, and they said, I'm not saying that. Nope, we're not doing that. That don't fit with my character. What you have now is a lot of people who are not confident enough, who are scared to leave the job or scared to step out, because if New Day wouldn't have worked, those boys were going to lose their job.
Here's my thing. So how much of New Day do you think, honestly, be objective, how much of New Day do you honestly think is the writers as opposed to them?
I'd give 75-25 that Xavier Woods and them, that's them.
Okay. So they're the exception, I think. I think right now, I mean, it kind of couples in with them not being able to, you know, them not being able to speak. All the talent now, pretty much the younger kids now, brought up in a totally different wrestling environment than
everybody you mentioned.
Than everybody you mentioned. Everybody else that you mentioned, especially Attitude Era, they're all old school. Even when they were younger then, they were all old school. This is the era of, and it's not a bad thing, but this is the era where these dudes now have a more cultivated, sheltered upbringing in wrestling, if you could say that. Even the indies are more sheltered in a sense of the bigger indies, your MCWs, CCWs, you know, are even ROH to an extent. They're all real feeder systems to where they're getting fed to NXT and the performance. NXT, Performance Center, all that stuff, none of that stuff existed. You barely had OVW back then, you know, or Deep South, to where these guys were coming up. It's still in the grunge of the old school as opposed to now. They have the best technology. They have the best workout regimens. They have the best trainers, everything. You come up in that kind of environment, and that's all you know. We talked about this earlier, G, how nobody really comes up really through the indies anymore like that. A lot of guys, they're straight hitting the Performance Center and up. They don't even know the indies. Like, you know, like even Patrick barely knows the indies because he, you know, he came up through MCW. But for the most part, most of these guys maybe have a little small stint to start somewhere in their local city. But if they're any good, they're getting noticed by Performance Center, you know, scouts immediately, and they're brought in, you know, in their 20s. Like I said, Patrick's such a prodigy that he started so young in MCW. He's still only like 23 years old. So he's still a baby. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's still, as much time as he spent in MCW, realistically, you know, for those that don't know of his background, he's a Performance Center guy. He came up through Tough Enough, and he came up through the Performance Center. So it's a totally different era now than what it was.
But if you look at it, and we talked about it earlier too, again, look at those who are trying to branch out from the WWE. You have, go back to Cody. Cody never really wrestled on the indies. He was a Performance Center, FCW type guy. And so he decided, you know what, I want to try something
different. Cody's different because of his pedigree. Like,
no, he might have been on the road, but it's different. He came up to the FCW, WWF way. He's WWF homegrown. And so when he branched out to the indies, he realized something. That's why he can do AEW so well.
What did he realize when he branched out?
He realized there's other companies out there who love professional, who love wrestling and not entertainment.
Okay.
And that's what he learned. I learned how to wrestle, and people want wrestling, not entertainment. So what we're going to do is, because when I was Stardust, that was entertainment. That wasn't wrestling to me. I wasn't happy entertaining. I was happy when I was out there just wrestling. And that's what AEW is built off of. AEW is supposed to be built off wrestling, not more so entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and poor Cody, to me, everything fell apart for him career-wise when his father passed. Like, everything started falling apart to where it wasn't – you could tell it wasn't really – he wasn't where he wanted to be as star. That you could see it. Like, and for the – I think they really messed up because it's just back then in, like, 07 when he first appeared at his father's induction ceremony in the Hall of Fame, the second he started talking, I was like, oh, he's going to be a star. We never even had seen Cody, pretty much. We never even seen, like, we knew he existed, but we never seen him. As soon as he started talking, I was like, oh, he's going to be a star.
You knew it. You knew
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And you know what? Same thing with Curtis Axel. When he was at his father's induction, when they inducted Mr. Perfect, you could see, like, and I think he had already started to train. But I was like, oh, he's going to be a star. And, you know, he's made it. And say what you want for his career.
Well, I would say lasted. successful, but not a star.
Not a star. Like, no, what I mean, he was successful in the sense of he's got longevity. He ain't been fired. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, he has the tools. I mean, when The Rock comes back, The Rock said it. That's who he wants to work out with.
Yeah. It's pretty much now, you know, Curtis Axel is going to pretty much, he's one of those guys that, what, 10 years from now or so, I could see him being the one being the head trainer at NXT.
He'll get a job. He'll get a job.
Yeah, or more than he'll get a job. He'll be the head of something. He's going to be where, he'll be equivalent or higher to where Joey Mercury and Jamie Noble are. Or Road Dogg or something. Curtis Axel will always have a job in WWE unless he really feels like wrestling and wants to go somewhere. Other than that, he'll always have a job in WWE. Always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I said, those guys that right now who are branching out, Sasha Banks, go back to point, never been on the indies per se, like that. She wants to go, you know, whenever case you want to float her wings.
No. Sasha's been on the indies.
Let me clarify indies.
Okay.
I'm gonna clarify New Japan, Ring of Honor, the other big stages. I still consider those indies.
I don't consider those indies. New Japan is huge.
Yeah.
And Ring of Honor has a good deal. It's just that they're not putting the money in it to like make it look like the deal.
I'ma still call Ring of Honor indie.
Because my thing is, if you have television, and you are able to do a show in Madison Square Garden, like I can't see CZW or MCW
remember
doing that.
That ROH was in conjunction with New Japan. That wasn't just them.
Okay. All right.
That wasn't just them. And you know what? Here's the other thing about that, which sucks. That whole Ring of Honor G1. I mean, Comic Call spade a spade. People can hate it if they want. That whole MSG show, that was sold out based on Omega, the Bucks, Cody, all of them being there.
Yeah.
And then they ended up not being there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and they still have the talent. That's not to take away, but at the time that show was announced, the Bullet Club was still in full effect as far as with them in it, with the elite inside of them. So a lot of that, that's where that came from. However, I will say, I mean, it's weird. Okay. I see where you're coming from, Keith. I see where Glenn is coming from as well. It's like ROH is indie, but they're not. They're a high quality indie, and I guess if you could say that, because they have a TV deal, they run pay per views, and they tour the country in a sense.
Yes.
But they are still they're. I'll put it this way: they're indie in the sense of they're still running smaller buildings. I think that's where I'm getting at. Other than the joint promotion with New Japan running MSG, they're still running Like, you know, they're still running UMBC Event Center. They're still running 2300. You know, they're still running these smaller buildings. That's where the independent stigma comes from, is that they're running these smaller buildings. Impact runs out of a television studio.
Mm-hmm.
And Impact tours, but they have a nationally, like, they have a national TV deal in a sense of.
Are they still with pop television or something?
I think that's what they're on, but they're on cable, you know. Mm-hmm. Sinclair Network is syndicated, broadcast television station. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like, they're all, you know, your ABC affiliates in different cities. You know what I mean? So. That's what still feels independent to me with them.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
Well,
I mean, you know, but I see what you're saying, though. Based on the outliers of them running pay-per-view regularly and all of that.
You know what we should do? We should have Brian draw up a graphic of a tier system. Well, obviously, if it's a triangle, in the first slot, you'd have WWE. In the second slot, you'd have AEW. And then in the third and fourth slots would be what? New Japan and what?
You would have, let me see, you would have WWE, ROH, AEW, New Japan, Impact.
Well, no. Okay. All right, think about it. In the first block, a triangle block,
okay.
WWE
is
at the pinnacle.
Yeah,
at
absolutely.
The second block would be AEW.
Oh,
the
like
third
a
and fourth,
oh, like
the,
food chain.
Like
yeah,
period,
like
yeah.
A food chain.
Yeah, food chain, yes. So the third
okay,
and fourth
so
tier
WWE's
would
at
be,
the top.
Yes.
Let's start over. WWE's at the top. Your second
AEW's
tier.
AEW's at is AEW.
AEW is
let's leave them alone.
Would you do really? Would you do them alone over Impact?
I wouldn't do them alone over New Japan.
Yeah, you see, if anything, I'm doing AEW and Impact together, and that's because of you got to give some respect to Impact. They've been around almost 20 years.
True.
They've been around. Impact has been around 17 years since its inception, pretty much. They've mm-hmm. been around since 2002. You got to give that bone alone. You got to give them that. You got to give
okay,
them that second
right.
tier just on that. So I see what you're saying, but I got to give them the respect factor that they've lasted this long, where we've all put them on death notice. We all have.
And they managed to survive.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So I'm giving them that just off of that. I see.
Okay.
Maybe in another year or so, AEW would be on their own tier. But right now, it's too new to give them their own alone. I got to put
right.
Impact there.
So then under that, so it would be AEW Impact. Then under that would be like New Japan, ROH, and MLW? Or
yeah, see, here's the problem, though. Is that New Japan is above ROH and MLW. I would mm-hmm. almost put New Japan by itself.
Okay.
You know what? And I'll compromise in this way. I can agree putting them under AEW and under Impact just off of exposure alone.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I can't knock Impact down so low. I know we want to. But I can't, for them lasting as long as they did, but the same argument can be made for New Japan. New Japan and Impact are almost interchangeable in that spot. Dare I say, you know what? If New Japan had a bigger impact in the States, then I would say they're over Impact. But nobody's, here's the thing, people are still leaving different organizations and they're going to Impact before they're going to New Japan. So I could see either. I think for me, I think I would put New Japan in that spot over Impact. It's close, though. It's close. New Japan has a better product. And that would be the reason I think ultimately I would switch the two. I think I would get, that's what I would do. I would do WWE. I'd do AEW in New Japan. I'd do Impact on its own. Underneath mm-hmm. that, and then ROH, MLW, who else? ROH, MLW would be under that.
Yeah, and then I guess you would go with, like, AAA, I would give them their own just for the international longevity and everything. And then after that, CZW, Iron Gate, Dragon Gate, excuse me, and like the rest of them.
Yeah, I can use that.
Which goes into our next topic, and we'll go along with this one. Is NXT the alternative, or is AEW the alternative to WWE?
Well, nobody's going. Here's the problem with that, though, G-Lo. Here's the problem with that. You can't independently go to WWE wanting to go to NXT. It's if they put you in NXT. That's the difference. You can't independently go to WWE and say, "Oh, I just want to be in NXT."
Didn't Cameron ask to do that?
No, she asked to go back down. She was already on the main roster. That she asked to go back down. But see, as far as you coming from the outside coming in, you can't do that because I'm sure AJ Styles probably could have asked, "Hey, let me go to NXT." I mean, it all depends. It depends on who comes in, how they want to feature you, and all that. If NXT was its own legitimate independent brand, then absolutely. But as long as it's WWE NXT and it's not its own entity, then no, you can't do that. I'm sure, you know how many people, honestly, as weird as it sounds, you know how many people are envious and want to be in Tyler Breeze's position right now? That he was able to go back to NXT?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure people are probably begging to go back to NXT. And he's the only one that kind of, and his was by circumstance because his partner's been injured so long that he's such a good talent, they don't want to waste him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it all depends. It's not like how it used to be in the earlier days of NXT, like in 2013, 2014, where the main roster talent was able to go back and forth regularly. I mean, think about it. You had Zack Ryder down there. You had Tyson Kidd down there. Natalya was down there. Like, you had regular main roster talent going down to NXT. NXT blew up so big that it became where it almost was frowned upon that you were from the main roster going back to NXT because the NXT talent was so good on their own. It had gone from the main roster talent coming down there to kind of boost up and legitimize NXT to NXT really standing on its own two feet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's a different time now.
It is, but if Ring of Honor, if not Ring of Honor, excuse me, if NXT was on its own outside of the WWE because of the product they put on, and then you had AEW on its own, which it is on its own, if NXT was separate from WWE, would we have – there will be discussion about Ring of Honor and NXT being the next in line, right? Which one will be next in line, AEW or NXT?
Well, that goes to NXT. The comparison. That goes to the comparison that was made in the group text when Brian and a couple of other people – Brian said this, and then the sentiments were echoed on Twitter. I saw a lot of people texting like, "Oh, NXT is superior than AEW. This was better than Double or Nothing. This was this and that, whatever," right? And I had to say, hold on, guys. Let's hold a phone here, right? You really can't compare them for the simple fact that NXT has been in existence for, what, 5-6 years now?
Well, no. It's been the inception of NXT. No, he's right. No, it's been about 7 years, depending. I mean, because the transition from FCW, it's been about 7-8 years because the transition of FCW to NXT was so fluent that it didn't really, there was no gap. There was no gap in performance or anything. All they did was pretty much change the name.
Yeah, they just switched the brand and then they started there. Showing up on a network as a standalone show. So that's one thing you can't compare it to. Two, you know, what I didn't like with the comparison was like, they totally bypassed the 5 hours of WWE programming and just went to compare NXT. NXT was, what, 3 hours? So for that week, mm-hmm. there was 8 hours of professional wrestling content from WWE versus, what, the 4 or 4.5 hours of AEW? Whatever.
Yeah, but that's what? Three different shows, though. Those are totally different shows.
Same company.
No.
Same company.
No, that's
it's the same. No. Wait, it's the same company. So wait, oh,
it's
NXT
the same company, but
it's not part of WWE.
So it's Vince McMahon running NXT.
No.
Wait, is it? No, hold on. Is it? Wait, hold on. Wait, is NXT part of WWE? Yes or no?
Just answer my question. Is NXT part of WWE?
It's different because that's like they're undefeated as part of ESPN and they're two different companies. It's one company, but two shows.
But they all have podcast hours. Like if you go to ESPN content or you ESPN is a subsidiary of Disney. It's a property of Disney. Somebody else may run it, but it's a property of Disney, just like ABC.
Right.
So you can't say – so NXT is a property of WWE. So their programming is part of WWE's programming. You can't separate
it is,
that.
But you can't lump them all as the same program.
You can't lump them all as the same program.
It's programming for the week, bro. Like, just like 205 Live. Just like 205 Live. It's programming for the week. Like AEW, we just got their second serving of their programming of the week.
No, they AEW all the time. They post on YouTube, all the post time they post on Twitter, the Elite show.
I'm talking about, if it's under the AEW banner, that's their programming. But I'm talking about viewable, televised, or pay-per-view content. Right, to which you got to pay for the network, so that is just a bundle.
Okay, but YouTube, all that stuff, you still got to see that.
If y'all want to count that, we can count that. Like, I'm not counting it, but I'm just saying to my point that WWE had 8 hours of viewable programming on pay-per-view and on television.
Okay, but with AEW, though, everything that was written for AEW is all written for the same program. That was all written in conjunction for Double or Nothing. There's three different writing teams for WWE, for Raw, SmackDown, NXT. That's three different shows. They're under the same company, but that's three totally different shows run by three.
Programming.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is programming.
So,
it can be, because here's my point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead.
There were 8 viewable hours, right? Some free, some pay-per-view on television or whatever it is you use.
Sure.
The best quality of the WWE programming didn't come until the end with the NXT product, right? So what I didn't like was people saying, oh, we're going to forget about the 5 hours of programming on Raw and SmackDown and just go straight to the NXT content and then compare that to AEW.
Because the NXT content was a pay-per-view.
And here's my thing. You can't compare AEW to WWE yet because they don't have anything on television, right? What it came across to me is people were biased, not looking at it as a whole spectrum, because wrestling is wrestling. You know, whether it's TV, whether it's a show. At WWE, they put on this amount of programming versus AEW putting on that amount of programming, right? So then now I measured it by, like, the execution, the impact, and the future implications, right?
Okay.
Now here's the thing. I believe that you got to go a long way to beat WWE in the execution department of production, right? Because this thing is a monolith. It's a machine that's been going on for decades, right? AEW, their first show, they had some mess ups, some screw ups, but it's their first show. So I wouldn't even compare it to that because it's their first show, you know? And then in terms of the impact that the NXT event had, yes, it was a very good show. The match was good. What I like to do sometimes is I watch things on mute, so that way I'm not swayed. Like, I watch boxing on mute from time to time because, you know, sometimes the announcers, you know, make you feel a certain way about it than you really wouldn't feel if you didn't hear them. And I'm sorry. Mauro Ranallo could make – he could commentate on paint drying, and he would make that very entertaining for me. I really like Mauro. You know, so I didn't want to be swayed. I like the wrestling. I like the show. And I think that the impact of Moxley meant a little bit more than the impact of this NXT show. Now, in terms of the future implications and the hook, what will draw you back in, we don't know what's going to happen with AEW. There's a lot that we don't know. We saw Moxley. We don't know where the story's going to go. We don't know how they're going to write it. And the story of their talent continues outside of AEW, thus him being at New Japan, which creates more content for other wrestling entities, what have you, right? But the thing about what I see on WWE, for as long as they're running those SmackDown and Raw shows and the pay-per-views the way that they're running them, I'm looking at the roster of all these great performers, and I'm like, yo, when they go up, the percentage of them being used in a way to maximize their potential, like, not saying that it's all for nothing, but I don't see them being used in the most efficient and effective way should they get the call up.
Let me explain that part. I got this one. That. One, you have a different audience, so they book differently. Because your NXT crowd, even though it's part of WWE, is not your crowd for Monday Night Raw. For the most part. So your NXT crowd is a little bit rowdy. It's your hardcore wrestling fan, which is the same hardcore wrestling fan that AEW likes. So that's how you can compare the two, because you got hardcore wrestling fan against hardcore wrestling fan, and the product is about – that's why I said earlier in the point, if you separated NXT and didn't have the WWE name to it, it would stand alone by itself and be maybe just that much better than AEW.
It's the 25th show. It's like the 25th NXT versus the first AEW show. How can you make that comparison?
Yeah, no, but you're going based on solely on number of shows. You're going on number of shows. The product is the most similar of the two products is AEW and NXT. They're the most similar of the same. There's the same style of workers is pretty much in both shows. That you can't compare Raw and SmackDown to AEW. That's where I would give you your nod. If people were trying to compare Raw or SmackDown or a WWE pay-per-view, a main roster pay-per-view to AEW, then I'd be 100% with you to where, nah, that ain't the same. AEW and NXT is as close as you're going to get to a comparison. So I can see why people would make the comparison. Not to mention, they were close in weeks. They were the closest shows in weeks together. You know what I mean? Well, there was Money in the Bank as well, but Money in the Bank wasn't even, if you're not going to compare Money in the Bank to Double or Nothing. You would compare Takeover to Double or Nothing because of the level of talent that's on each show.
And then also, if you went to experience, count up the number of years of experience for those who wrestled in NXT, count up the number of years of experience in AEW, they're about the same. And so when you look at it, you have talented younger kids who are putting on stuff that veterans are putting on AEW. Because some of these guys are quote-unquote veterans. So when I compare the two, I compare by fan reaction, by crowd, and by match. Let's be honest. If there was no AEW, we'll still be talking about NXT TakeOver. Even though there's been 25 of them, only one that's been on most of them is Johnny Gargano, which is 14. So you have a new crop of stars.
So let me ask you this. If NXT was in the MGM Grand Garden with the show that they just had now, do they sell out 14,000 seats in under 10 minutes?
We can't justify that because robots.
I see Keith's point, actually. I see where he's trying to get with that. I see what he's saying. It wouldn't sell out as fast, but they would sell out, though. And that's ultimately what you would want. They'd sell out. They would.
But again, going back to Corey's point he brought 20 minutes ago, they sold out in the comparison that the Young Bucks, that Kenny Omega, that the Bullet Club was going to be there. Now, you take that card, you take what happened, and if you tell them, okay, this is the card for the Super Card for Madison Square Garden, Bucks is not going to be there, the Cody Rhodes is not going to be there, Kenny Omega's not going to be there, and you try to sell that big bad boy out in 10 minutes again.
But that's ROH. I'm talking about AEW at the MGM Grand. With their talent, they sold out in under 10. Even if it was bots and it hit the resale market, that place was full, bro. Like, I've seen –
But that was because of the same thing. But I see exactly what Glenn's trying to say this time. They sold out the same way based on – That nucleus of talent with those four guys, those were the guys that sold out Madison Square Garden, realistically.
Well, no, I'm talking about the same guys.
I don't care
about the Madison Square Garden show. Like, I'm not talking about that.
But it's relevant here. It's relevant here because it's the same group of guys. So, yes, I'm agreeing with you. The same group of guys are the same guys that just sold out MGM Grand. It's the same guys. So, yes. They are going to sell out in 10 minutes. You do have those guys, those people that are going to buy that product to go there. However, NXT sold out Brooklyn every year. Every year
around WrestleMania, but that's because it's around the WrestleMania. Like, no, it's not a standalone show.
It's SummerSlam.
Yeah, it's packaged around SummerSlam. It's packaged around WrestleMania. Show me an NXT standalone. Yeah. Show me a standalone NXT show that sold over 10,000 tickets without SummerSlam, without WrestleMania, without packaged tickets, without any of that.
Well, they don't run. They never ran them like that. They never ran them like that. All the NXTs that were standalone, they were all run out of Full Sail. And the other ones that was standalone in London, that was sold out. The other one that was in, where else did they run? I think actually London might be the only other standalone one that they ran not during the weekend of a pay-per-view. But it's a smart model though. And you have people that don't even go to the pay-per-view. That just go to NXT. I know that for a fact. People would just go to NXT.
Mm-hmm.
So NXT is selling out these buildings just as much as anybody else. So you got to give them that nod. And NXT, especially, and you were there, Keith, for that first takeover. You know how that was. First one, that was the first time they ever ran an arena.
I'm just saying, AEW want to compete with something. They should be competing with NXT and not the WWE brand as a whole.
No, they're not competing with anything because they haven't been on TV yet. Like you can't compete until you're on television.
Yo, but they're competing, Keith. We got Cody Rhodes taking sledgehammers to Thrones to look like Triple H. You got them taking over one of the key stars.
That was bad.
What do you mean that was bad? That was fucking
bad, but I'm talking about you're not trying to compete. That's what I'm saying.
If I'm not trying to compete with you, I don't mention you. I don't talk about you. I don't do any gifts towards you because when you do stuff like that, you're really competing with me. You want me to have a comeback. We want to create controversy, which creates cash.
And you want to do a whole hell of a lot of that.
So you see what I'm saying? So they, in a sense, they don't want to compete, but they're kind of competing with WWE. They can say they're not, and you know it's like the XFL said, we're not competing with the NFL. The only thing different, you get two different seasons.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna hold steadfast and say it's not a competition until you get on television. Like I don't because you can't, that's going to be the ultimate test of the product once they get on television. But what I didn't like was people splitting hairs and kind of like totally forgetting that Raw was horrible. SmackDown was serviceable. Raw this past week, I think somebody said like out of a 3-hour show, it only had like an hour and maybe 15 minutes of wrestling on it.
Yeah.
The locker room morale is low. The people that are leaving are happy. The people that are there upset. You know, we can't look at this and not see this as a problem, like a huge problem.
But see, but that's the main roster. It's two different rosters. The NXT locker room ain't upset. The NXT locker room is happy. You got people who want to go down.
Oh, yeah, because, yeah, of course, because they're on the road eating hot dogs, tuna fish, and Gatorade, making $50 an hour. Of course you're going to be happy. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Like, you're not going to, you know, they're giving you housing. You're getting a consistent check. You know, compared to what they would be facing on the indies, I wouldn't want to be in the indies either. I would want to go straight to NXT. But the issue is, if I'm an artist, if I'm a talent, what's going to happen to me when I get to the main roster? And I'm telling you this, I'm going to say this now. Wait, actually, before I get to that point, how long are the contracts in NXT since they're supposedly independent contractors? How long do those
Everybody's got different contracts.
Yeah, everybody has different contracts.
Is there a possibility that you can go from NXT and then be a free agent or just leave or your contract's up and you like, I'm out?
Yeah.
You can, but
your boy EC3 did it.
No, he was released. He was released.
Okay, he was released.
He was released. However, with NXT, it's how many of them are in the position to go somewhere else when making it to NXT, because your next step in NXT, if you're good enough, is going to the main roster. I'm speaking purely in financials. That's where you want to go. You want to go to the main roster. I'm not talking about creatively or, you know, career-wise as far as your in-ring performance and on-television performance. I'm speaking purely financials. You're in NXT, your next step is going to the main roster, and that's where you want to go. So for you to make that move from NXT to AEW, you have to be good enough of a talent in NXT to where it's being shown that, okay, you're going to – the only person that's kind of made that move, and even then they were released, is Juice Robinson when he was CJ Parker. He's really made a name for himself now on the indies and come up, in which he was always good. It just, you know, it didn't work out in the NXT for him. But other than that, you don't see too many names go from NXT to make it big elsewhere. You don't. You need main roster exposure before you go. I mean, that's where it is. You need main roster exposure before you get any kind of big money deal elsewhere.
You know, my thing is always this. People always talk about ratings on Monday night and the WWE ratings are slipped. Guess what? They're still number one on Monday nights. Even though their ratings are slipped, they're still number one. Over Love and Hip Hop and everything else that comes on besides the NFL, they are still – my numbers dipped, but I'm still number one. My advertisers haven't gone anywhere. So when you talk about
– Oh, go ahead.
They're still the number one cable show on Monday nights.
Right. They are. Yeah.
Yeah, I just see the quality of the show. I will say the three best things that have come since WrestleMania, because there's always a dip. You know, we've acknowledged that in the past, and then it usually picks up around SummerSlam. But the three best things I'd say would be NXT.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the second one. I had a list. And my number one thing that has been the best thing since WrestleMania has been R-Truth and this 24/7 title.
Yeah.
When Cesaro pulled out that table and he was laying on it, man.
I can't remember
the last time.
My last one. Yeah, because that was unexpected. That was really unexected. Especially for to come off of a serious match, like a serious good technical match with Ricochet and Cesaro, and then to pull that and all of that goes by the wayside for the comedic relief of R-Truth. It's like, okay, wow.
Yeah.
He's doing some great work, even taking that to social media, man. I mean, what he did a couple of weeks ago with Old Time Road or Old Time Way, whatever that song is, with the with the 24/7 title. I mean, he knows how to get over. I mean, you look at it even this week with the golf course with Jinder Mahal.
Man. Oh, remember, we always said when they do stuff outside of the arena, it adds to it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it definitely adds to it. So that's one of the things that, you know, WWE has continued to do. I think the fascination with AEW, it is different. It is new. And people love to see different things and new things. And let's be honest, there's some people who are just jumping on the bandwagon because it is new and it is different. They don't know.
Nah, G, it was good, bro. Like, it was legit good.
Keith,
like,
but Keith, I've been around. We've been around wrestling fans for a long time. There's some wrestling fans who couldn't have told you who wrestled. Who couldn't have told you who wrestled on an AEW event and never.
Hey, listen. I didn't look. I didn't know half the motherfucker. Well, wait, let me got curses, PG. I didn't know half the people on that damn show. But when I saw them, I was like, oh wow. Like this dude, who's he, Scorpio Sky, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, wow, okay, all right, I dig it. And then I saw Kazarian, which I haven't seen him in a while. He's still around.
Bro,
and
well, then, Scorpio Sky is your guy, man. He was in Dr. Shelby's class, man. Come on.
Yeah.
Who? He was the black guy in the segments with Daniel Bryan and Kane in the therapy session.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Now that you bring that up, yeah. All right. You know, but I've never seen him. You know, do
yeah, you never seen him wrestle.
He was doing. And what's the other guy? Christopher Daniels, is it?
Christopher Daniels is a landmark. He's an institution
how
in wrestling.
How old is he?
He's well into his 40s. He's about 43, 44, I'd say.
Yeah, he's been around forever. Like, and it felt it also what AEW did. It felt good to see the old timers in good spirits about what was going on. You know, at the StarCast.
My fault. I gave him some. He's not 43. My fault. He's 49.
Yeah, he's R-Truth's age. He up there with R. Because I remember him with Elix Skipper and all of them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
He's 49.
Wow,
still
man.
Killing.
Like,
yeah,
still chilling. Still
and,
looks young,
and,
man.
And never went to WWE. And from what I'm remembering this wrong. I'm not sure. But I think WWE might have just thought he was too old. I think it was either that or they just wanted
him too small.
As a coach. No, well, that's true. But I think they just wanted him as a coach. Something was with that. Because I think they were interested at one time, but not interested in him as a full-time talent. I think they wanted him to maybe be in NXT a little bit, but coach or something like that. I think it was something. I could be wrong. I could be remembering that wrong, but I think that's what it was.
Hmm. Oh, and let me say this, going back to our point in terms of, like, the shift in the paradigm. All right, we already know that if Punk shows up, that's a game changer. That's going to be on SportsCenter. That's going to be on every sports media outlet forever. And whatever promo he cuts is going to be forever. That's going to change a lot. You know what else? Who made himself a rich man and who made himself a dangerous man at NXT? Mm-hmm. Adam Cole.
We can take the brag for that one. Listen. We interviewed him back in 2012 when he was really on the indies. And like I said, I told y'all this at Access when I went to do his meeting there. I pulled up that picture for him. I said, "You don't understand. This is how long we've been in your corner, man." He was like, "Oh," he just looked at he held my phone and just looked at it. He said, "This is unbelievable." Mm-hmm. It's like, "This has been so long." He's like, "How many?" He said, "Because it was me and him." He said, "Look at both of us. Both of us had no hair on our face." Like, you know, he was really. He's like, "I really, really appreciate seeing stuff like this." I was like, "Yo, you like?" I told, and that's legit. Like, he's been our guy for a long time. I said that in 2012. I said, "You remind me of Shawn Michaels so much." I said, "He's like, well, I appreciate the comparison." I said, "But you really?" I was like. And I was like, that's not just because Shawn was my guy. Like, you can see talent. Like, sometimes talent is so prevalent, it really slaps you in the face. And he's one of those people. And like you just said, he's adding zero after zero, like performance after performance. He's just adding another zero to, like, his potential is making him so much future cash, it's not even funny. Like, his boatload is about to be – you talk about a guy that's – he's the next guy when he comes up, for real.
Yeah, the sky's the limit for Adam Cole. The sky
you can't
is definitely
mess up. You can't – him and Velveteen are the two you can't mess up.
Oh, really? Are you really going to put it up on this particular – system Are you going to really say that?
Yeah,
you can't
mess them up? I'm saying it optimistically, but you can't mess these two up.
I'll tell you this. Odds wise, odds wise, both of them are not going to make it.
I think they both have the ability to whatever the main roster gives them, they will get it. I think by the time, and we also got to look at this, by the time these two come up, it to me is a blessing for they stay down in NXT as long as they can until Vince McMahon leaves or Triple H takes over. Whichever one comes first. And so when that happens, you'll see a paradigm shift in the WWE. You'll see what you see in NXT. You'll probably see weekly on Raw, SmackDown. Because what happened, guys on the main roster right now, they're handcuffed by certain things that you do, certain things. And unless you want to be that person that goes outside of the box. But once again, a lot of these people, don't want to go outside of the box. And so we heard Dean Ambrose said that, you know. But when you get Adam Cole, when you get a Velveteen Dream, I think they will push the limits. We already seen Velveteen Dream push the limits with having Vince on his tights, the stuff he does on social media, just all that type of stuff. I think he's willing to do whatever it takes to be a superstar. Now, I do agree. I'm still on the fence about the gimmick being a world champion, but only time will tell.
Yeah, no. And that's the thing, like, we do see, because they are so bad, we do see the failed call-ups because they're so bad. Like, they really, I mean, but Shinsuke is falling on that line of being a good call-up, and now he's kind of, Shinsuke and Asuka are the ones that are kind of, the hope was there, and now they've kind of fallen off.
Shinsuke and AEW.
Yeah, but hear me out. The other call-ups, other than the obviously bad ones, have not been that bad. Finn, Samoa Joe, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Seth Rollins, the Shield, the entire Shield, all of them came from NXT. Bray Wyatt, and even though that was a different era of NXT, if you want to call it that, they're still NXT call-ups. They still all came from that same system. You know what I mean? So for all of your Tyler Breezes, Ascension, Mojo Rawley's, I mean, for them, which that's what sucks is that those call-ups are so bad that they stick out higher than the ones who have done decent on the main roster. Because you're so used to them now on the main roster, you don't even think twice about it. But all of the failed ones, Charlotte, the entire four horsewomen, Charlotte, Sasha, Becky Lynch, Bayley, all successful on the main roster. Granted, it's the women, so you can't go but so far. You either, Alexa Bliss, like Carmella. You got to say, they did pretty well with the NXT women. I mean, except maybe Nikki Cross, but that hasn't even been long enough to really call that a failure yet. You know, but the women, they did a good job. Maybe because they were lacking on the main roster, but.
Yeah. I agree. I agree, man. I totally agree with that. The WWE stars who have been called up, or those who've all been called up that have not succeeded, some of that was their own doing. The Ascension, that's the biggest one that you can think of. When it came with face paint and talk about the Road Warriors, some things are sacred. You haven't proven anything yet, you know. But then I look at other call-ups that were very successful. Initially, Big Cass and Enzo was so over when they got called up, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, that was wild. That was major, man. And those guys.
That was going to end up being the best call-up. For real, that was going to end up being the best one. If they made it, that was going to end up being the most, not best, I'd say the most lucrative. They would have been the moneymaker call up. Absolutely.
You know, it's about how you get called up the moment, and that was the night after WrestleMania. So sometimes being called up the night after WrestleMania, or having something on the mic, or having something to be done with, because let's be honest, they had to deal with they dealt with the Dudley Boys. Dudley Boys put them over. You know? So.
Yeah, absolutely.
put him over. So some call-ups are good, some call-ups are bad, and I think you got to find your place in there and, once again, step outside of the square that people say WWE put them in creatively and do your own thing differently. I know, you know, within the confines of the match, but it's subtle things, man. Your facial expressions, when you got a minute to cut a promo, cut that promo like it's the best promo you ever cut in your life. You know, things like that makes a difference going forward.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, fellas. Well, I do believe the third quarter has started.
Yep, yeah, we can go ahead and wrap it up.
Yep, let's get ready to wrap this up. Closing thoughts before we get out of here. So we can see and watch.
We'll see what happens Friday. Friday, I feel like here's my surprise thing that could happen Friday. It might not, but I would not be surprised. I can speak it out into existence. Baron Corbin could really walk out Universal Champion. That guy has been running on all cylinders for a while now. And I wouldn't be surprised as a shock value if they gave it to him.
Yeah, I can see that. As I mentioned earlier, I wouldn't be surprised if the whole Seth Rollins thing, the smoke screen, and Brock cashes in on Kofi on Friday.
I would be pissed. I don't think they want to do that. I don't think they want to do that.
No.
I agree with that.
I think
you do that, that's bad business. Hold on, let's get back to that. You do that, that is bad business, brother. I'll let you finish and then I'll go to my point. Continue.
No, that is definitely bad business. I don't see them doing that, but it's a possibility. You know, it is always a possibility because right now we're getting nothing but Seth Rollins, and it may not be the one that he cashes in on. Throwing it out there, not necessarily has to cash in on a Raw champion. But the match, I think, will be the match of Super Showdown match. And maybe people may not like it, but I do still believe that the Finn Balor-Andrade match will be the match of the night.
Yeah, that very well could be as well.
For the IC title.
But here's the only problem with that. Because the demon gimmick is so contingent upon them making that demon character look so strong, I think that may hinder this type of match. That demon character works good with people who aren't technical. It's going to be interesting how that character comes off with technical wrestlers, because him almost as regular Finn can put better matches out there with an Andrade as opposed to regular Finn against like Lashley. You see, those matches were good, but the match was more entertaining when he was Super Finn, the demon, because it was like, okay, he's clearly had to go to a different place to compete with this larger, with this opponent that's larger than him. Somebody who's his size, that technical prowess that they like to exhibit with regular Finn is probably the match I'd rather prefer to see. But we don't know. We'll see how it goes.
So, champ, last one, Goldberg versus Undertaker. Are you looking forward to seeing?
Wait, no, I thought I was going to voice my last point.
Let him get his point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's my point. Several months ago, I notified all of you guys and a couple of my friends in the group text that I felt that Eric Bugenhagen was going to be superstar. The numbers said so. The crowd response said so. I've never seen in professional wrestling a guy come out on debut, get over with his entrance, lose the match, goes to the back, get sent back out for an encore of his particular entrance to the ring, and then go from over to super over in his first night out. I've never seen that, right? I said to you a couple days after that, after watching it, I said, get this guy to the main roster. And you guys argued me down, and you said, well, no, he has to develop.
No.
He needs the in-ring. Wait. Glenn argued me down.
Okay,
good. But then I said this, which I always go to. Hulk Hogan had 4 moves. Ultimate Warrior had 6 moves. It ain't
rocket
science.
That was also 1989 and 1990.
Listen, you can get over the crowd with 5 moves if you really knew what you're doing. If you really know what you're doing,
John Cena has done it.
John Cena has done it, and you know who else could have done it? Enzo.
Yeah.
Enzo could have done it too, and Enzo actually was doing it, and he was on the path. If he had not gotten his own way from what was reported, I think Enzo would have been one of those guys too. But anyway, back to my point about Eric Bugenhagen. He had everything you need to succeed in sports entertainment. You get him on the main roster. You don't have to fine-tune anything. That was his gimmick. I don't know if somebody gave it to him. From what I know, I know people that know him personally. They said that is him, right? Mm-hmm. All you do is you put him on the main roster. You blow it up with the money. You build him up the same way you've been building when you built up Lars, you built up EC3, you built up those call-ups, whatever. That guy goes to the main roster, and he brings something that the WWE hasn't had in a long time, that fans didn't see in a long time, just a guy that has it, right? What
right,
they've done
absolutely.
This past week is they did their WWE thing, which I always say they do not like organic success. They do not like something to blow up out of their control. They have to, and this is what Moxie was saying, they have to micromanage everything. And I figured out why they do this. The reason why the show is so bad, the reason why the talent is frustrated, and the reason why the television shows are performing below their potential is they're not doing things the old school way with G you brought up earlier. The old school way was the booker has the talent. They go over the finish. The talent who's gauged and locked into their characters and personas, they go over the match. They go out and they put on the match, right? All of this script stuff and the splitting hairs and changing things at the last minute, like the more you do that, it decreases your opportunity to have success. By changing Bugenhagen to Rick Bugs, even that name, Bugenhagen, what the hell is a Bugenhagen? I don't know, but I can associate with it because he's the only Bugenhagen we know. You know? He's the only guy with that name in America that I know. So even if he has a moderate level of visibility, branding alone, it is successful. And they went and they did everything that they did to piss off Sasha Banks, to piss off John Moxley, to piss off Luke Perry, God bless the dead, Luke Harper, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to stop anytime soon. So Eric Bugenhagen, Rick Bugs, if you ever listen to this show, I hope they find another gimmick for you, because whatever you came up with, brother, that was money in a bank, that was gold, and
It might go back. You never know. Even something as simple as, remember, they tried to change Dolph back in 2011?
They tried to change his look?
Yeah. They cut his hair and dyed it brown. It was back in like 4 months. He was back to being Dolph. So this might happen. This might be a trial run where they run something on the NXT circuit of the non, I mean, I guess for lack of a better term, the B team house shows, the dark house shows, the ones they only run in Florida in the high schools and stuff, the ones where they run it with the performance center talent. That's what I'll call them, the performance center house shows. If they run them with him in there, and they see it doesn't work, they may switch back. You never know.
Switch him back, put him on the main roster. Listen, I tell you this much. You put him on the main roster by SummerSlam, you got something for WrestleMania. You put him on the main roster by by SummerSlam, build up to the Rumble, you got something with him by Mania. Not saying he's going to main event Mania, but you got somebody that the people can invest in. I got this guy, and I've only seen it once, you know, how when the Ultimate Warrior came in, his first song, he had the Rockers theme song, right, when he first came in. Did you guys remember that?
Mm-hmm. Vaguely. Go ahead.
Yeah, he had the Rockers theme song, And then Jim Johnson got back there, gave him the right music to go with. But he still had to, like, you saw from the first time you saw Ultimate Warrior, you knew. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You knew.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
They just had to fine-tune it and elevate it. And then that's the same thing with this kid. I'm telling you, we know they listen to this show.
I'm saying what you like. I tell you what you like, champ. You like the energy that he brings.
But and not just me, the crowd. I look at the crowd. Like, that's what I saw. Like, I don't even know how I saw the video because I don't even really watch NXT like that. But I saw it, and then I saw the crowd playing an air guitar, and it don't take much for me to see it. I saw one little kid doing an air guitar thing, and it might have been for a split second. Boom. I already know you got something.
Yeah,
I already
absolutely.
Know you got something. You got a right. character because the kids bought in on the first go-round. Then when they brought him back out, then that's when I stamp of approval. Oh, I know you got something. You know what
right.
I mean? I know.
But that's what
you had
with Enzo, because Enzo was a character. People like characters.
There you go. There you go.
Oh, yeah. No, those kids were doing his dance and everything. Like, no. That's what I'm
so,
really mad
I know.
About
you're so frustrated. I know.
Because I was – y'all know I was a number one for him. I would stand him. Y'all
yes.
know that. I was behind
yes.
him. Because – and I said it on the show years ago when he was out there at his peak. I said, what I love about him is that he's the closest reality of what I would have been if I was a wrestler. Like,
yeah,
for real.
You can identify with him. You can identify.
Yeah, absolutely. He is pretty much what I would have been in my real life state as a wrestler. Almost the same size, the same character, the same type of personality. The shoes, I mean, come on. He was, and he legitimately went to school, the same school I did.
Mm-hmm.
And he's from Jersey. Like, I connected with him. I had so many similarities with him that.
And you're not the only one,
right? Even when they turned him heel when he was a jerk, I loved him even more. I promise you, top 10. I'm serious. Top 10 promo wise, that some of the stuff that I've ever seen when he ran down the entire cruiserweight division when they were standing around that ring. Was one of the greatest promos I've ever seen when he ripped every single one of them. Do you remember that, Keith?
Yeah, I remember that because it reminded me of when Jericho did that to the Cruiserweights in WCW.
Yeah. When he ran them down, I said, oh, this is gold. This is gold. Because none of them could even say nothing back. He told TJ Perkins, he said, I would fight you, but I don't want to go to jail for assaulting a minor. Who said that? Like, come on. When he said that, I said, oh, nobody can say nothing to him. Like, this is gold. And just for the way things happened with him, I was frustrated because that was my guy.
Yeah, very unfortunate.
Definitely unfortunate. Fellas, hey, great show. I enjoy the conversation. Close us out and so we can go on home.
Hey, if you're not confirmed, consider yourself denied.
End of story, ladies and gentlemen. Good night. Catch you next week.